Randy Cohen studies the ethical dilemmas of everyday life. Say you don't want to go to an old friend's wedding, but you don't want to hurt his feelings. Is it okay to lie about why you're staying home? Randy Cohen explores those questions in a column for the New York Times Magazine called The Ethicist. And starting today, The Ethicist is a regular guest on All Things Considered. Randy Cohen is in our New York bureau. Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here.
One thing I've always wondered is how you become an ethicist.
I was an accidental ethicist. I stumbled into this job insofar as one can stumble. The idea for the column came from the New York Times Magazine. The editors there conceived it and asked half a dozen different people to audition for the job. You know, so you think you're good. They gave us each the same three questions to which we were meant to respond. And after that, it's hard to say how they made their choice.
Are there grand principles of some kind that you use to try to decide what's right and what's wrong?
I have reference to many different ethical systems, but try to rely on none. It would be great if there were one. You could just count on, you know, just a set of rules. You could have it on a little card in your wallet.
Just don't do it. Whatever it is, just don't do that or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. If you feel uneasy, that means you're doing something wrong or you're imagining your mother very vividly. Which I think in a way is not such a bad ethical guideline either. At least it seems to me that one of the guidelines my readers use, what shapes their values, and I guess mine too, is the values of the family in which you were raised. That my readers seem to be very much like their families. They share those values, and I think I do too. So when we picture our mothers, in a way, we're just referring to that whole set of values.
Okay, well, our feature will involve everyday situations for you and our listeners, Randy, to consider. And today, of course, we're going to hear from some of the people who write to you at the New York Times Magazine. But for future installments, NPR listeners will get the chance, and we will give the address a little bit later on. So you may want to get a pen and paper. Now, let's start with the issue of two-tiered wages. I'll read this letter that you received, Randy, and then we'll talk about it. It comes from Joan Hess of Arkansas. And Joan writes, "When I hire local teenagers to do odd jobs, weeding, hauling boxes, I pay about what they'd earn at a fast food restaurant," which I assume means minimum wage. "I pay adults doing similar work at least twice as much, and I add a hefty tip since they have families and basic living expenses." She's paying older people more. And Joan writes, "It's not the money, but the message. I don't want the teens to think that this sort of labor might provide a lucrative career. Is this pay inequality ethical?" Randy, you published this column about a month ago, and what did you conclude?
I think she's incredibly well-intentioned, but shockingly unethical. What she's engaged in, I believe, is just age discrimination disguised as generosity. That if you look at this benignly, if you're very generous to Ms. Hess, she's giving a bonus to an older worker to help him meet his financial obligations. But if you look at it less generously, she's penalizing a teenager for not having a couple of kids. And the history of this kind of thing is a little disturbing. It was the kind of thinking that was often used to justify paying single women less than married men because, oh, the men had families to support, but the women didn't need the money. Two people doing the same job equally well, I believe, are entitled to the same pay.
Yeah, but maybe there's a life lesson here for the teenager, just that, you know, life stinks.
Well, that's a valuable lesson for us all. But I don't think they're schlepping Miss Hess's boxes around for the moral lessons she's there to offer them.
We've got Joan Hess on the line. Joan, welcome to All Things Considered.
Thank you.
Did you agree?
It sounds like a food fight to me.
Did you agree with Randy?
No. I thought Randy had some very good points, and I have been thinking about it and asking other people, too. It has to do with also, and when you say local teenagers, my letter was edited. I said neighborhood teenagers, and I live in a very nice neighborhood.
These are kids of families that you know.
Yeah, they live across the street and next door, and what they're earning is mall money, as I call it.
Money to go shop.
Yeah, they obviously are not in need of anything, and they do it to be nice, and they do it for, you know, a few bucks. The woman that cleans my house lives in a trailer park and has to miss work occasionally because she can't afford to get her car fixed. And yes, I do pay her more.
Well, again, I want to make it clear that I think Ms. Hess is unbelievably honorable and thoughtful about the people who work for her. I'm certainly not impugning her character in any way. But
hey, you said grossly unethical. I heard that.
We hate the sin, but we love the sinner and invite the sinner over for dinner, actually. I think how people spend their money, whether it's on rent or video games or renting video games or borrowing video games, isn't the concern of my boss. That it isn't. It might not be about the money for my boss, but I assure you it is for me. The kids aren't hauling boxes around for your career counseling. They're doing it for their wages.
Joan Hess of Fayetteville, Arkansas, thanks very much for writing the letter and for talking with us about it. Interesting issue.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll move on to another letter here, this having to do with the question of a spousal exemption. Pete McDonough of New Jersey wrote a letter stating this. Recently, a friend told me that he and his wife were expecting a baby, cautioning me that this news was confidential. Once they went public, I told my wife, who's very upset that I didn't tell her the news the minute I heard. She says that on non-professional matters like this, there is an expectation that a husband would tell his wife and that the confidentiality would not be violated. I say confidential is confidential. What do you say? Randy, what did you say?
I'm with Pete's wife on this one, that her distinction between professional and personal confidentiality is a good one, I think. The patient privacy obligations of a physician or the trade secrets of a chemist allow for no marital exception. But when it comes to personal matters, your friend's injunction, don't tell anyone, implicitly means, except, of course, your wonderful spouse.
But they didn't say that.
It finally comes down to a matter here of cultural understanding. I believe that this is implicit, but it's certainly true that the spousal exemption, while widely held, isn't universally held. And if you want to avoid misunderstandings when you're offered a secret, you might want to clarify it by saying something like, I won't tell anyone except my wife if that's okay. If it is okay, the problem's solved. And if it's not, your friend can decide not to give you the secret.
Okay, we've got Pete McDonough and his wife, Molly, on the line, and welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Is confidential always confidential?
Well, depends on which one of us you ask. Randy, it's very nice to have an opportunity to thank you for your lovely response to Pete's query, because he wrote to you, and I didn't know he had written to you, and I was so thrilled when you responded and agreed with me. So that was a great moment in our marriage, I must say.
But you were even more thrilled when you came home and saw that I had posted Randy's email on our refrigerator where everyone could see it.
That's
true. Wait a minute. Pete, were you persuaded by Randy Cohen's advice? Do you agree that you should have told your spouse about this?
Well, I don't know if I agree, but I do know that that I do now. You know, I figured it this way. I figured that Randy was going to agree with me, and
which is why he wrote.
Which is why I wrote. And then when Randy got back to me with his email saying, no, there is a spousal exemption, I thought, well, if he had said that I was right, I would have put it up on the refrigerator just to make sure she saw it. And since he said that I was wrong, I thought I should do that. And now I adhere to his advice. If someone tells me something that they say is confidential and it's of a personal nature, I say...
Go straight to the wife.
I say, well, you know, I may tell Molly this. Is that okay? And they generally say, yes, of course that's okay. In fact, most people agree with Randy.
Well, now Randy, that may raise another ethical dilemma of a sort here. If your spouse insists that you follow some rule and you disagree with it in principle, is it better to just go ahead and do what she says?
Yes. Yes, it is. I would do anything. Actually, I would just call Molly, frankly, and do anything she says. She sounds like an or Pete seems admirable, too. These are assumptions that every couple has to work out their own policy on, and they have to understand one another. They needn't agree on everything, but it's important that they really do understand what the assumptions are going to be. The column got a lot of response, and it's certainly a matter on which people are divided. Some take Pete's position often very passionately. They felt I was encouraging betrayal of secrets, and others treat marriage as a kind of information unit. You know, the way they treat it as an economic unit, what's mine is yours. The best response I got from one of the readers was this one here. I'll quote her here. She wrote, everybody knows that if your friend asks you not to tell even your spouse, you're supposed to duly promise not to and then swear your spouse to secrecy, complete with coaching instructions on how to feign surprise when the secret, such as a pregnancy, is later revealed. I don't think I can endorse that, but I certainly recognize it.
I recognize that, too.
Pete and Molly McDonough joined us from, where are you in New Jersey, by the way?
Pennington, New Jersey.
Pennington, New Jersey. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you
Thanks for having us.
If you have ethical qualms, quandaries, or questions, write us here at All Things Considered by email at watc@npr.org. Be sure to put on the subject line ethics. That's ethics. Again, email us at watc@npr.org and put the word ethics in the subject line. Leave us a daytime phone number and be sure to tell us how to pronounce your name. You might be chosen to present your situation to Randy Cohen, ethics columnist for the New York Times. Thanks, Randy.
Bye, Steve.